It's The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. Kids don't have to use drugs to experience their consequences. When parents or caregivers use illegal drugs, kids can be at risk. They face the dangers of neglect and violence, physical, sexual, mental, emotional abuse. So communities are coming together to protect children in unsafe environments with drugs. How have you seen drugs affect kids near you? Were you a child who lived with parents who used or sold drugs? Were you a caregiver who couldn't take care of children because of your own addiction? Tell us your story. 1-800-642-1234. You can call or you can email ideas@wpr.org. We're talking with two people who are part of a partnership that helps communities keep children safe from exposure to drug environments. They're on the steering committee for the Wisconsin Alliance for Drug Endangered Children. Mike Osmond is a detective for Buffalo County. Mike, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
And Amy Regan is a social worker with the Eau Claire County Department of Human Services. Amy, thanks for being here on The Morning Show.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
Mike, help us understand, how big of an issue is this in Wisconsin? How many children are endangered by drugs here?
Well, it's certainly tough to put a number on that. We've definitely seen a rise in the amount of drug use, particularly methamphetamine in the western part of the state. And as the drug usage rises, then the impact of the children is certainly going to increase as well.
Yeah. Amy, what does drug endangerment look like? What does it mean to be a drug endangered child?
Unfortunately, what we're seeing is significant neglect. The children's basic needs are often not being met, as well as their social, emotional needs. They are, they're struggling in the school setting. They are oftentimes unable to even get to school, depending on their age. And then just within the home is oftentimes very unkempt, and they are fending for themselves at very young ages.
And are we talking about parents doing drugs, or are we talking about really anyone in children's lives who are doing drugs, using drugs, making drugs? Help us really define the problem.
Certainly starting at the parental level oftentimes, but what we know about people that are using is often there are multiple adults, whether they're additional caregivers or just other adults within the home that are also using, which is really increasing the significance of other forms of abuse and neglect that can occur. The more adults you have within a home environment of a child that are using, you're increasing the risk for physical abuse, sexual abuse, additional emotional abuse and neglect.
Amy, how have you seen drug addiction impact families here in Wisconsin? Tell us your take.
It has really been a significant part of our casework for the last couple of years. It really truly is tearing families apart. When children are having to be removed from the environments, which happens most frequently, we're trying to bring in other relative caregivers to help with that child, but that also means that that can become kind of a rift in the family, because we're asking that they're taking care of the children, therefore aren't always able to be a support for the addicted parent.
Mike, Amy describes it as tearing apart families. What have you seen?
Yeah, all of her descriptions are right on. Again, when you have a parent or caregiver, and I think it's important for the listeners to know too that it's not only a parental situation. The children are at risk of any type of user or addict, that has a caregiving role. So just because, you're not a parent and you have you're a short-term caregiver, the impacts of the drugs themselves can certainly, take effect on the children for a small time. So, but when you talk about tearing the families apart, addiction is a tough thing for people to overcome, and there's so many other effects that other than just the health effects that go for long periods of time. We have studies that have shown through the adverse childhood experiences, studies that have shown that, you know, childhood experiences at under age 18 can affect a child for the rest of their life in many different ways, both mental health, physical health, and certainly substance abuse throughout their lives.
Mike Osmond is a detective for Buffalo County. Amy Regan is a social worker with the Eau Claire County Department of Human Services. They're part of the Wisconsin Alliance for Drug Endangered Children. And we want to know, how do you think that communities and schools and families can work together to tackle this issue of drug endangered children? 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We have John in Stoughton who's joining us this morning. John, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, and great topic, great conversation. It's a really bad issue in a lot of our communities, so thanks for doing that. I had two questions, I guess, a question about what you guys are looking at, and then a comment on how we could maybe help my ideas. One was that I was wondering if alcohol is at all considered in your studies and in your work. I think everybody would probably agree alcohol abuse is the number one form of drug abuse in the state of Wisconsin, and alcoholism is rampant. I grew up in an alcoholic environment. So I was just wondering if you could talk about that a little bit. And then also my suggestion is, you know, if these drugs were legalized and treated as a medical issue, this wouldn't be, you know, we wouldn't have drug dealers in homes if this stuff was legalized and treated as a medical issue rather than a criminal issue.
All right. Thanks, John. We appreciate it. Mike, are we looking at alcohol when we're talking about drug-endangered children, or are we looking at controlled substances only?
Controlled substances. We go off of state statute for the child neglect, and under that state statute, it specifically says controlled substances. Now, your caller is certainly right. Alcohol is a you know, certainly a contributing factor to many of the issues that law enforcement deal with on a daily basis. But our focus is on the controlled substance.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Amy, help us understand, could parents unknowingly have a child who's endangered by drugs? Do you ever come across that where it's not in their home, but maybe a home where the child spends time?
Absolutely. You know, we always try to educate parents on the environments that your children are in. Ask those questions. It's not always an easy topic of conversation, but certainly ensure that you're aware of where your children are going when they're hanging out with friends, because we certainly see that. Many of the families that we work with, you know, even while we're there, there's times when the neighbor kids will come over to play. So yes, it is impacting, because oftentimes, you know, these are things that you're not necessarily seeing unless you know the family very well, because parents have a way of hiding their addiction. That's, you know, they're not wanting that to be something that is well known. So oftentimes you're not seeing it, but listen to kids, listen to the cues, listen to their play, because oftentimes you will see things even if they don't understand what they're seeing. Watching their play and listening to the words that they have to say can enlighten you on what may be going on next door.
And trusting kids. Our conversation continues. Amy Regan and Mike Osmond stay with us. They're part of the Wisconsin Alliance for Drug Endangered Children. How do you think communities and families can work together to help kids who are in environments with drugs? Where do we even start to come up with the solution? And what's your experience? What's your interaction with drugs? How did it shape your childhood? What do you want other people to know? 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. Coalitions across Wisconsin are working to help kids living in homes where people make or use drugs. They're trying to identify children most at risk. They're watching for kids who don't have the right clothes for the season, or noticing unexplained injuries, or keeping an eye out for children who are constantly afraid. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking about drug-endangered children in Wisconsin here on The Morning Show. How have you seen drugs affect your community? What worries you about the adults and children dealing with drug environments? What do you want people to know about helping? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call. There's a line for you. You can also email ideas at WPR or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We're talking with Eau Claire County social worker Amy Regan and Buffalo County Detective Mike Osmond. They're part of this partnership that helps communities keep children safe from exposure to drug environments. Amy, let's talk about how you work with families facing the issue. I mean, what initial steps are taken when you realize that there's a child in danger because they're around drugs?
The initial step would typically start at a joint investigation with law enforcement and human services to kind of get a full understanding of what is going on and a decision as to how intervention will happen with the family. Once there, if we can certainly determine that there are concerns for drug exposure for the children, we continue to follow up as to, you know, what is the safest option for these children. If parents are under the influence, we know that their use is happening within the home. Quite a few other factors that may go into the decision, which is not an easy one, but it may be that the children are removed from the home and the addiction is addressed with the parents, as well as services for the children to ensure that we can have them in a safe environment and we can work to reunify the family as a whole, but in a healthy environment.
Yeah. How does that work? We often, want to make sure that families stay together for as long as possible. And also you don't want to jeopardize children's safety by leaving them in the home. So is removal a last resort, or is that a first step to make sure that everybody's safe while you figure out what's going on?
That's a hard question to answer because our first option is always keeping a family together. But safety is the largest component of that. And, you know, what we know about drug use and a parent who is under the influence frequently, that is not a safe environment. So oftentimes in these situations, while we can, you know, work to intervene with the family early on, if there are signs and symptoms that we see earlier, but once we get to the point of what we call a DEC response, that often does mean that a child is going to be removed for a period of time. But we work with the parent or the primary caregiver to say, who is someone that you trust? Who is another family member? Because we don't want to separate the family any more than we have to. But physical safety is one of our number one priorities. And that often does lead to a removal from the home in these types of situations, especially when we're talking methamphetamine, because of the significance of exposure.
Mike, is that what you see too?
Yeah. In our county, meth is the number one issue as far as the drug endangered children. So we focus a lot of our efforts on public education and, trying to solicit those reports to intervene as early as possible. But certainly, we're not immune to all drugs. It's just, we see other drugs, but our main focus is meth.
Yeah. Mike, are parents or are these people who are using drugs and endangering children, are they the people who are bringing the issue to your attention? Or is this really often reported by someone else who's noticing these signs of abuse and neglect?
Yeah, so normally, I would say on average, the majority of our reports come in from other family members, either that or from other drug investigation control buys or information that we receive from other drug users, drug dealers. But majority of the reports come in from other family members, which is important for our program is because it's very difficult to identify some of these families that are at high risk without reports from the family members. It's one thing to be open to drug use. I don't mean open, but it's one thing to say, you know what, that's their private lives, and I'm not going to intervene with that. But I think that the public needs to look at it and say, you know, when there's children involved, that's the tipping point, and that's the time where they need to pick up the phone and call and say, you know what, my son and daughter or my family member struggles with addiction, and that's, you know, their choice. But it's not the choice of their two-year-old to be impacted by meth. We've done hair follicle testing that's shown infant children as every day or every other day meth use levels in their system. So it's important, you know, that we get those family members to call, because those are the ones that give us the best information.
Mike Osmond is a detective for Buffalo County, and Amy Regan is a social worker with the Eau Claire County Department of Human Services. And they're part of the Wisconsin Alliance for Drug Endangered Children. Have you seen drugs affect your community? 800-642-1234. Jim from Oconomowoc couldn't stay with us, but called in. Jim says he was raised as a child in a drug-endangered environment, and then he ended up repeating the cycle with his daughter. He says he thinks community centers could help, maybe could be a place for kids to go or to have adult support outside of the family. Amy, how can we stop this cycle from repeating? And could community centers, these other places, be part of the answer?
So kind of answering that twofold, you know, addressing the issue with the families as soon as we become aware is one of the biggest hopes in breaking the cycle, because it is unfortunate. We are seeing generations. I've only been in human services for close to 8 years, and I've already seen second generations of families with, you know, drug-affected situations. And we want to, well, the biggest thing that I talk to these parents about, because obviously when we first come into a situation, there is a lot of stress. These parents are not wanting what's going on to become public knowledge. They, you know, they have that feeling of guilt and remorse oftentimes. But what we try to let them know is that we are here now. Like, there's no way that we can go away at this point. There is a concern, but we want to work with them to help this situation. We want the kids to be aware of how can we continue to break this. The older the kids get that we become involved with, you know, we want to educate them. We don't want it to be a secret of what's going on, the white elephant in the room anymore.
Right, trying to remove that shame.
Absolutely. And then second is the education within the community. Absolutely, community partners can be part of this and breaking the cycle, offering options for kids and families to get out in the community, but also being aware of the signs and symptoms in case there is a concern. But being safe places for these children to go and be able to open up to, because quite frankly, some of our reports often come from with inside the home. So the kids that are talking about it and having caring adults that know that these are unsafe situations and how to make reports for on behalf of the children is a huge part to breaking the cycle as well.
Mike, what do we do? Are there policies we can put in place? Are there laws lawmakers can pass? Are there things we can do as communities or as law enforcement agencies? What do we do?
Well, you know, our state government passed a new law, you know, and I forgot when that was enacted, but it's been recent, within the last year or two, that is an addition to the child neglect statute, and that states that it, you know, protects, it's a protection from exposure to the distribution or manufacture of controlled substances, and that's under the child neglect statute. That's been very helpful for us to address that. Not only, you know, everybody says, "Oh, a new law," just, well, that, you know, that way the cops can go out and arrest the parent. What that does, though, for us is that that gives us an in to assist the children itself, and provides you know, the treatment element to the parent or caregiver, the services element to the parent or caregiver, one, through human services, but two, also it can be court mandated. And oftentimes we see, you know, where parents, you know, choose children over addiction. Now, it does go the other way too. A lot of parents will choose addiction over over their children. But and that's unfortunate. But the children at that point, you know, are away from the parent or caregiver that's using. So, you know, what do we do? I think that we need to increase our treatment options. In Buffalo County, we don't have a treatment center. There's no way for a citizen in Buffalo County to go and get services in Buffalo County. They have to go to up to Eau Claire or down to La Crosse. So I think
more widespread,
you know,
options, I think,
for treatment would be a start.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. Mike Osmond is a detective for Buffalo County. We've talked with him and Amy Regan, who's a social worker in Eau Claire, and they are part of the Wisconsin Alliance for Drug Endangered Children. Coming up, we're talking about businesses run by women and how we can support them. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234 to be part of that conversation. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Up next is news.